Thank you, Lynette. That was gorgeous. It's been a tough week for some. And this is probably, for those, one of the best passages in the Bible. Revelation 21, verse 4 says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." And those that are able to, let's kneel as we pray. Father in heaven, first ask for forgiveness that we might approach, and I praise your son's sacrifice that we might be given that opportunity to be forgiven. And Father, there has been loss and pain, and there has been sorrow recently, and we thank you for the promise that you've given us that that will eventually go away. And we pray for that day to come. Father, I pray that you will cradle Eurydice's heart and that you will touch his lips and that that your spirit will speak through him. And I pray that we will have ear and heart to hear your words, that we might draw closer to you, that we might lift, and that we might remain steadfast yet on this world to defend your character, and to continue to draw closer to you as we await that day. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning, church. Happy Sabbath. Thank you, Lynette, again for that beautiful song. These are times in which we all feel the need of being close and near to God every moment. So that was just beautiful. Thank you so much. Well, the sermon for today, Lessons from a Sinful World. If I ask you to close your eyes and think about this last 11 months that you have experienced, when you open your eyes, probably 30 seconds, 1 minute, how do you feel? What comes to your mind when you close your eyes and you think in the things, the events that have been happening lately in our personal lives, in this country, in the world in general? Probably not a pleasant feeling. You open your eyes and maybe you feel like things are going from bad to worse and to worse. And just, it feels like there's no way out. What are the lessons that we can learn out of all this mess, out of all this chaos that we live in today? And a very important question, too. Should we really be learning from it? Paying attention to it? Should the sinful world we're living in today be the model that we look at? Okay, let me learn lessons from it. And you might be wondering, then why did you name your sermon that way? Took all your attention. It was on purpose. And yet we shouldn't, but we still learn from it. Because we're living in it. And because we're living in this world, we learn from it. And there are things that happen to us personally, and then we learn from it. There are lessons that actually we learn from it. But let's take a look at a broader picture. And let's see, as a subtitle, I say, we are on our way to a new creation from this sinful world where we live. But this world we live in, one of the things that is talked about the most today is climate change. And we see it daily, and we do our human effort to kind of like control it, which is not really working. We can see that. And so we're going to see this list of things that may or may not be related to each other. And one might be the cause of the other. But those are the things we see today. Climate change, which leads to natural disasters. And so every year we see the global warming, how it's increasing, and then it's getting hotter and hotter. And in the summers and fall, we see the wildfires out there just devastating places and people losing everything. And in the winters, we see really, really cold winters, and just it's hard for people to understand. Like, places that they never saw snow before, they get this huge storm. Because things are out of control. And then all of that, when the climate change causes natural disasters, and there are floods, and there are fires, and there are earthquakes, and there are things happening, the economy collapses. Because people lose their businesses, and the agriculture is impacted, and people are economically impacted with that. But then that raises more issues. Social inequality. People who actually have money and can survive those disasters, they do well. Oh, we're fine. Let's just forget about that house that we just lost, and let's just buy a new one. Let's move. Well, this company is not working anymore, but I have my experience. Let me just take, you know, my experience to this company. They'll hire me. And actually, I'm doing better now. And they do well. But the poor and the person who has nothing has to struggle. And then we see people homeless struggling out there, trying to find a place to live, trying to find food. Inequality. Political problems everywhere. Political issues, tension between countries, wars everywhere. Terrorism. And that plays with people's lives. And people suffer. And it's not their fault. Fear. The world is in fear. And it's really sad to look out there how people don't feel safe. And we install security cameras, and we install alarms, and we put on a fence, and there's not safety out there. Fear, everyone. It's in fear of something happening. And what can we say about sickness? This is what we're living in today, sickness. And we already mentioned, people are hungry, and who knows how many people out there die of hunger every day, children, entire families. That is the world we live in today. And when I look at that picture, when I look at that list, I think, what would the best word be to describe all of this? And while I was praying and thinking and trying to find a word, I think the best one was this one. Disaster. You might be asking why. You can see it by yourself. The world is a disaster. And it's been a disaster for a long time now. It's been a disaster for almost 6,000 years. And so for you to better understand that, look at this definition of disaster. A disaster is a serious disruption occurring over a short or long period of time that causes widespread human, material, economic, or environmental loss, which exceeds the ability of the affected community or society to cope using its own resources. Do you think that is accurate for what we're living in today? I couldn't find a better word. A disaster. And then looking at that, again, we as human beings, there's still some goodness in our hearts, and we have come up with disaster agencies. And we have some disaster agencies that we use to respond when there's a catastrophe, when something bad happened. In this country, there's the Federal Emergency Management Agency. There's also the American Red Cross, which helps people. There's the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. And in our very own church, on this list, guess what we have? Oh, not here, but we have the Salvation Army. And we have the Adventist Development and Relief Agency, ADRA, which is present in very many places in the world, helping people in need and as first responders. But my question is, even with our human effort to control disaster and to respond and to help people, can we avoid the suffering that it causes? Can we fix the world we live in? We can come up with plans. We can try to fix the global warming, trying to fix the climate change. We can try to fix everything and come up with plans and plant trees and try to save this area or do something or come up with agreements between countries to do things, but nothing seems to work. It is not within our possibilities to face this disaster. I was still looking, and then I found a more accurate definition of that word, disaster. This one says, disaster is a sudden event, such as an accident or natural catastrophe, that causes great damage or loss of life. And this is very relevant to the presentation for today. Catastrophe is a sudden event, such as an accident or a natural catastrophe, disaster, that causes great damage or loss of life. And then I was like, well, this definition, in order to make sense, I have to take a deeper look at things. When did this sudden event happen? Because if a disaster is a sudden event that then causes loss of life, there's an event that happened on this earth to cause the disaster we live in today. And another important question, who caused this disaster? Who do we blame? Because we have the need for blaming people. We need to blame someone for everything that's going on. Right? So, before we go to that event, let's go to our scripture for today. And let's read the whole passage. It's Revelation 21, 1 through 4. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. And I say amen. When we look at this, okay, John sees a new creation. John sees a new heaven and a new earth. And he's really excited about it, because in that exact moment when he's seeing that new heaven and new earth that is being presented to him, it wasn't probably in the best moments of his life. There was a disaster going on with him too. But when did it all start? So, let's put on some glasses now. Let's put on the redemption glasses so we can better understand what we're about to see. And let's go see the beginning of that disaster. If you notice, the shades are red because they are redemption glasses. And yes, they are covered with blood. Sorry to be graphic, but it's a disaster, remember. And there's loss of life. And when we put on these redemption glasses, they will probably help us better understand the process in which we're living in. And let's go back to the beginning. We go to Genesis 1:1 in the Bible. And we find in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I wish we had time to look at all the Bible passages for this morning, but we don't. I wish I could just read Genesis chapter 1 through 3 so you can hear the whole story. But basically, God created everything. Everything was perfect. Everything was new. That new creation. He looked at it, and then verse 31st, he said, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was what? Very good. So the evening and the morning were the 6 days, and then we go to chapter 2 when it says that God finished the creation with the seventh day, and he blessed it and he rested, and that was the end of creation. But everything was really good, was very good. Creation at the beginning was perfect. God spoke, and out of his words, everything formed and everything, you know, just happened. And then when everything was made, he came himself and formed man out of the dust and gave him life. What a wonderful event. And then we have all of these what-if questions in our minds. What if this had remained as it was at the beginning? Then, next part of the story follows. And it comes the fall. And that perfect creation, that perfect world that God had created at the beginning was perfect no more. And then Genesis chapter 3, we're skipping chapter 2 and all the details of creation in there. Let's go to almost the conclusion of chapter 3. After the fall, which was the disaster, the sudden event that happened, remember that word, disaster, happened very early in the story of this world. God said to Adam, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your lives. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return." So the things that we find in this verse are very interesting. When the disaster happened, first, remember, right before that, if you can go and read it, God is asking, "So what happened?" And then Eve is like, "Well, the serpent." And then he asks Adam, "So Adam, what happened? Oh, that woman, that wife that you gave me." And then everybody was blaming someone else. But God comes to a conclusion. He says, "Cursed is the ground because of you." Some might argue, you know, well, Satan was the one who caused the whole mess. Okay, Satan was the one who caused the disaster. God says it was because of Adam. Yes, he might be involved, but it was human race's sole responsibility to obey God or disobey him. And we chose to disobey him. So it is our fault. And by this, I don't want to blame Adam for the climate change that we're experiencing today. Probably that's our fault for everything we are creating with all our companies and, you know, all the gas emissions and all the things that we're doing now. It's probably our fault now. But the whole thing, as a human race, we're guilty of it. And the consequences of that disaster, the consequences of that disobedience, then we suffer through all of it because now we have pain. And pain then was introduced after sin. Then we have pain. And the effects of that pain, God said that it will last for all the days of our lives. So there's no way to escape from it. Yeah, sure, I wish I didn't suffer. I wish, you know, I was made of steel and I didn't feel pain in any of my muscles or anything. Or when I'm sick, I didn't feel anything. But pain is the result of that disaster that happened at the beginning. And the extent of it is all the days of our lives, as long as we live. As long as we live, we're going to experience that pain. God says, "By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return." That translated will be death. The ultimate cause of sin. Transgression. Death. And so when we look at the beginning and we see this event, this disaster that happened at the very beginning, when creation was perfect, then there was no more perfection. And then when God said that curse is the ground, when we see this climate change happening, when we look at the list again, then everything makes sense. Everything makes sense. All of this caused by sin, caused by our own disobedience. And so, what are the lessons that we can learn from this? Simple word. What are the things that we can take away from it, that can be useful for us? We can see it. Man caused the chaos, the disaster, and that was sin. It's the word we can use for it. Pain is inevitable. It's there. It's linked to our sin as a result of it. Death cannot be avoided, although we try so hard to avoid death. Cannot avoid death. And the effects are, they last for as long as we live. But now let's turn the sermon around. And instead of looking at the disaster and at the world we're living in today, let's look at the cross. Because then in the cross we find hope. Because then in the cross we find a solution. Because in the cross is the answer to the disaster. We come up with the Red Cross and with ADRA and with all type of agencies to respond to disaster, but we couldn't come up with an agency to respond to this disaster called sin that caused everything we're living in today. But Jesus, our first responder, he is the agent who came to rescue us from that emergency. He's the one. Let's take a look at Isaiah chapter 53. We don't have time again to read all the verses. I wish we did. Just go home and read it yourself, because there's so much beauty in that chapter. But verse 4, surely he took up our pain. So remember how pain was introduced with sin? Jesus came so he could take that pain away from us. And in case you're wondering and saying, okay, but I still suffer pain. Like if we get sick, we have pain. We're talking about spiritual pain here. This is a different type of pain that Jesus took from us. Verse 5 says, he was pierced for our transgressions. And our transgressions, this word here, is also this, or sin. Say more. And verse 10, yet it was the Lord's will to crush and cause him to suffer. And through his death, the Lord makes his life an offering for sin. He took our suffering. The suffering that we should be having because of sin, because of that disaster from the beginning, he came not only to rescue us from it, but to take him himself. And that sin that we cause, he took it. And he erased it. And another verse from Isaiah 53, verse 11. After he has suffered, then he will see the light of life and be satisfied. So at the beginning with chaos, we see sin, transgression, we see pain, we see suffering, and we see death. But with the cross, we see that Jesus takes our pain. We see that Jesus takes our suffering. We see that Jesus dies for us so we don't have to die. And instead of giving us death that is the cause of that disaster, he gives us life. And remember the effect, the extent, the lasting effect of sin, of the result of that? This life, he will see life forever and be satisfied. It's what the verse says. You can go read it completely. It's not, the whole verse is not there. But that's what the verse says. That life Jesus brings is eternal life. The life God gave us at the beginning. So let's go back to Revelation chapter 21 to see the first verse of it. It says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. There's a pattern that we've seen today. What's the pattern? We have seen creation. Then we see fall or sin. Then we see redemption through Jesus' death and the cross. And then in Revelation chapter 21, we see redemption. And isn't it beautiful that the Bible starts with a perfect creation, then goes to the fall and sin, and then in the center we have redemption and all and the story and everything that took for Jesus to come and die and everything that happened afterwards. And how God in the prophecy showed us everything that's going to happen until Jesus returns. Because in here, what John is seeing, a new heaven and a new earth, is that new creation. And what is really important about this verse in Revelation. Next part says, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. And he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. Why is this important? Because when we look at Genesis 3, when sin happened, there was a separation. And the human race had access to the glory of God, had access to the presence of God at all times. But when sin happened, then there was a separation. And we didn't have access to God anymore. We didn't have access to his presence. But Jesus came and established a bridge between the human race and God so that we could again access the glory of God. And when John is saying here that God is with them, what he's saying is the restoration of that creation that was perfect at the beginning, and then sin caused a separation. When John sees this new heaven and new earth and that God is with them, he says that glory from the very first creation that was perfect, and the glory of God, the presence of God with men, is restored eternally in that new heaven and new earth. And that's why he explains it so well. It's not just his presence. He dwells with them. It's not anymore that God is in heaven and that he comes to the garden to visit every now and then. And, hi, guys, how are you doing? Let's hang out for a little bit. Oh, I need to go. I have some other businesses I have to take care of in heaven, so I'm leaving now. No. God will dwell among us. He's presence will be with us. Him himself will be our God. His presence will stay with us forever. And that is what we find in that new creation, is the presence of God. giving us life. Because it's not only that the presence of God is going to be with us. If that was the end of it, okay, at the end there's not going to be sin. If you're saved, you go, you stay with Jesus. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain from the beginning caused by sin. For the former things have passed away. For that imperfect creation that was imperfect because of sin doesn't exist anymore. And there's a new one. The first time I preach about this passage, it's really personal to me. My grandpa had passed away back in 2010. It was January 15, 3 days after the huge earthquake on Haiti, if you remember. And then that city was in the border. It's in the border between the Dominican and Haiti. So there was like a lot going on. I remember going to visit Grandpa Wednesday evening. I got there. He was really sick. He wouldn't even recognize me. And he was in pain. And it was a hard night. It was a really hard night because he was just crying of pain, and we had to stay awake with him for most of that night. Didn't even sleep. But then next morning he was feeling a little bit better. And he actually called my name. He recognized that I was there. He wasn't recognizing people, but he recognized that I was there. And he called my name. So I came to him and I started this conversation that I could barely understand what he was saying, but I had this conversation with him because my grandpa didn't follow Jesus his whole life. And since I said, this is a chance God is giving me to talk to him. So I said, Grandpa, do you believe in Jesus? And he said, yes, I believe in him. And I could hardly understand what he was saying, but yes, he said, yes, I believe in him. And he was holding my hand so strong in that moment. And I said, if you believe in him and you give him your life in this very moment, you will be safe. And then he said, squeezing my hand again, I want to be safe. I believe in him. Couldn't keep talking to him. I just closed my eyes and prayed with him. It was a Thursday morning, left around noon. He was feeling slightly better, 8. Went back to the orphanage, and Friday morning, 6 a.m., I get a phone call. Your grandpa passed away. And I was just thinking, God gave me this opportunity to talk to him and pray with him. And by faith, I have the hope that I will see Grandpa in heaven. Because guess what Revelation 21:4 says? There will be no more death and no sorrow nor crying and no more pain. It's a promise. It's a promise that we have. And I know, if not all of you, most of you have experienced the loss of a loved one. That you are wanting to see in heaven. And that you believe in this promise that we have been given. And for those who probably saw on Facebook, I've been also grieving the loss of my grandma this week. But I've been grieving peacefully because she died in Christ. And I had the chance to fly over the Dominican Christmas, spend a couple of days with her, pray with her. She will always recite Psalm 23 to me. It's the most beautiful thing ever. I recorded her, I have it on my iPad recording. It's just beautiful. But I am just thankful. And along with grief, I was telling Rod earlier today, along with grief, there's just joy and peace. Because I know this disaster of world we live in today is not going to last long. And when it comes to an end, when Jesus comes, we will see our loved ones. And I have the blessed hope that I will see all those loved ones in heaven. And I praise God for His word. Because He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. And He will bring to life those people who we love, who we know died in Him. And then that thing called death, caused by sin, caused by that disaster from the beginning, will be no more. And sickness and suffering, and remember that whole list we saw at the beginning of this world we live in. No more. None of them. A new heaven and a new earth where the presence of God will be with us. And so what I want you to look at is God overriding everything from pain to joy, from suffering to happiness, from death to life, from that separation between God and man to us living eternally with God, His presence with us. So forget about the lessons we learned from the world. And look at the lessons we learn from the Word of God. Because that is the only thing we should be looking at right now. No pain, no suffering, no death, and a whole new creation. And when we look at those lessons, I'm almost done, but not just yet. You have to know that, yes, it is a promise for the future, for when Jesus comes. Actually, it's after the millennium, so it's after those 1,000 years where we're going to be in heaven, that the new heaven and new earth will come. That's what John saw. You have the opportunity of experience that new creation right now. And I want to invite you to experience that new creation today. To let Jesus take over your heart. To let Jesus override your pain for joy. To let Jesus override your worrying about everything for the peace that only Him can give you. If we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here." Yes, there will be a new earth and a new heaven that will descend, and that God will create something new. But God is recreating right now our hearts. And the death that is caused by sin that is inside of us, and that sin that is inside of us causing death, Jesus already nailed that on the cross, and He is trying to give us life. He's trying to make that new creation happen right now in our hearts. And that all started also in the cross. If we keep reading that passage in 2 Corinthians, verse 17, it says, If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputed them trespasses, imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. And that's why we look at the cross in this pattern of creation, fall, and then the cross, redemption. In that moment on that of that pattern is where God was reconciling himself. Reconciling us to himself. God was in Christ reconciling the world. Not thinking about everything that we did at the beginning to cause the disaster. Not thinking about everything that we're doing today to cause everything that is going on today. Forgetting about all of that. Giving us grace. Giving us forgiveness. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful Savior we have. And that verse concludes saying, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ, in Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And this is all in the context of this new creation. And this is all in the context of God recreating our hearts, recreating our lives. So when we go to heaven, then we're ready for the new creation of the new heavens and earth, where we have his presence forever. Now we have the Holy Spirit who brings God's presence to us and who helps us to connect with God. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. But when we experience that new creation, and the new creation come, then it's not just God. It's not going to be just the Holy Spirit. It's God himself right there with us. We look at the Bible and see those promises. I can't avoid thinking about heaven. It's just too beautiful. And there's this song. It's called Sing to Me of Heaven, and I'm going to read a couple of verses for you. Because it makes me think about the beauty of heaven and everything we'll have there. It says, sing to me of heaven, sing the song of peace. From the toils that bind me, it will bring release. Burdens will be lifted that are pressing so. Showers of great blessing o'er my heart will flow. Sing to me of heaven. Let me fondly dream of its golden glory, of its pearly gleam. Sing to me when shadows of the evening fall. Sing to me of heaven, sweetest song of all. Sing to me of heaven as I walk alone, dreaming of the comrades that so long have gone. In a faded vision among the angel throne, they are happy as they sing that old sweet song. Sing to me of heaven eternally and low, till the shadows o'er me rise and swiftly go. When my heart is weary, when the day is long, sing to me of heaven, sing that old sweet song. If you haven't heard that song before, go look it up on YouTube. It's Sing to Me of Heaven. It's just beautiful. There's another song that I also love. Talks about so many songs talk about heaven. Just chose two today to be considered. No More Night. The timeless theme, earth and heaven will pass away. It's not a dream. God will make all things new that day. Gone is the curse from which I stumble and fell. Evil is banished to eternal hell. No more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again. And praises to the great I am. We will live in the light of the risen Lamb. And I say amen. I want to invite you this morning to experience that new creation. To hold on to God's promises. That everything we're seeing today will go away someday. And that is near. And that instead of death, we'll have life. And we'll have eternal life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the gospel of reconciliation, and we thank you for the Bible and your word and your promises. We thank you for Revelation 21, 1 through 4, when it says that there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and that you will be with us forever. Thank you for that beautiful promise. Thank you because you will override death with life, because you will override sin with forgiveness. Thank you for giving us so much that we don't deserve. Thank you for your grace. We want to ask for your forgiveness. May your blood cover us. May we use those redemption glasses to look at the world and see that we might have caused this, but you already forgave us, and there is hope for us. We just have to allow you to create a new person in us. Please transform our hearts, fill us with your love, and help us to believe in you and to walk holding your hands every day of our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.